Okay, Parshas Tazria. So we're going to start actually from Parshas Bereishis. It's, I guess, a slightly unconventional way to start Parshas Tazria, but hopefully with the assistance of Rabbi Lam, we'll be able to understand the Parsha just a little bit better. So at the beginning of Bereishis, the beginning of the Torah, we have the famous pasuk, Vayomer Elokim Nase Adam Betzalmeinu Kidmuteinu. So God says, we will make man b'tzalmeinu, in our image and in our likeness. And then he'll rule over the fish, the birds, and the animals. And all the bugs that are on the land. So what is that? I guess, you know, this is the makor of the idea of Tzelem Elokim, the idea that we're created in the image of God. What exactly does it mean to be created with Tzelem Elokim? And how are we better than the animals? Right? Meaning the pasuk seems to be indicating two things. First off is that God felt that when creating man, man should be created in the likeness of God himself. And also, it seems to be that man is supposed to be greater than the animals. And it's interesting, I never really noticed this, but it's got lots of different categories of animals as opposed to just collectively. So is there any significance to that? So those are kind of the jumping off questions to understand this pasuk. So the Or HaChaim explains it as follows. He says, "Eshar yishichavei lomar shiyah butzad rachamim butzad din." What is unique about man, which makes us different than animal, is that we have a concept of rachamim and din. La'fil b'hem darche edin v'darche rachamim l'sher yikonu v'vein. That we know and are able to sometimes pick from midas harachamim and sometimes from midas adin. Right? Animals that act on instinct don't have that same concept, but they, you know, everything is based on whatever instinct tells us, and yet man is so very different. So that is how the Or HaChaim understands this pasuk, and I think through that we can understand both the idea of Tzelem Elokim, and we could also understand how we are better than the animals. Kli Yakar offers a different answer. So he says, "Akarovei lailo marveze ki begimol minim elu yesh koach biyad adam l'mshol be'achad yoter mechaveiro." So the Kli Yakar says it's possible that the best explanation to him is that there are three types of animals here. To say yesh koach biyad adam mshol be'achad yoter mechaveiro, to say that we have the ability to rule over each one more than its friend. Now it's interesting that the Kli Yakar puts Babehima Vukhala Aretz, Vukhala Remes Aromesal Aretz in one category he has it as three categories as opposed to four. I didn't realize the Remes Aromesal Aretz when I read the Kli Yakar until we started reading the Psukim, and I was like, how's he gonna deal with the fact that it's four categories? So I was already prepared to say that according to the Kli Yakar, it seems like it's in descending order or ascending order in terms of like the control you have. So fish are the least controlled, birds a little bit more controlled, and then the animals on the ground the most controlled. So I was going to say that like bugs are even more so. So I don't know, two nights ago I was in one of the kids' rooms doing bedtime. And all of a sudden, one of the other kids starts screaming that there's like crazy stuff going on in their room. And I'm like, what in the world is going on? So but with the level of panicking that was going on, I ran into their room, and they thought that there was like animal, like excrement all over the floor of their room. So that's like pretty scary. And it turns out that, there were like worms on the floor of their room, which is also pretty disgusting. Really, it was like one, and like it's casing, and it had come through like, I don't know, some hole in the door to the mirpeset, and like whatever, in 2 seconds, like I stepped on the one animal that was alive, or the one bug that was alive, and then swept everything up, put it in the garbage, took the garbage out, and like all done. So So I was going to suggest that, like, really, if you want to talk about, like, order, bugs are probably about the easiest thing in the world for man to rule over. Animals a little bit less. And then, obviously, birds and fish are a little bit easier to escape. But the Kli Yakar avoids all that by just saying that, no, the animals and the chayot and the chorome sal aretz are all one category. So he bases it on the availability to capture. So man and animal share the same general land. Right? Animals can't run, can't fly away, they can't go into the water. So man has the ability to get to them easily. You can't fly in the sky and go there. Man is stuck on the ground. Birds are still, you can see them with your eye and you can kill them with bows and arrows. Masha'ein came by fish. Fish are able to hide in the water. And obviously certain fish in certain waters are deeper. And man has less of an ability to get to them. So, yeah.
I think it's an explanation. But when we're talking about Bereshis, where they didn't eat any of that. They were vegetarians at that point. So that whole meeting doesn't fit.
Right. So I guess he would say it's still you could exercise control over. Meaning man could force animal to do whatever he wants, even if he's not going to eat them. He has less of a control over birds and the least control over fish. Right? So it's a fair point, Greg. I guess that's how he would answer it. I guess I'm trying to see. He doesn't say anywhere in here actually the word to eat, but rather he uses the word right to limshol, to rule over. So yeah, I mean, right. It's a point well taken. The Kli Yakar, I mean, I really brought the Kli Yakar down because I like the fact that he addressed why you even need these categories anyway in this pasuk. Why can't it just be the v'yirdu b'chol chayata aretz, and then you know by that you would collectively take everything in there. That's what I like about it. But he doesn't actually answer the first question. Nasadim b'tzalmenu k'nutenu. He doesn't really explain how man is created with tzalem elokim and how right. It's hard to believe that the idea of tzalem elokim is that we could destroy other types of animals. That doesn't seem tzalem elokim ish. And animals have the ability to do the same thing. They could destroy other animals also. So that leaves us with the Malvim. The Malvim says the following. It says, "Ve'yom Elokim nasa adam tzalmeinu, ha-mefarish perish inyan ha-tzalem al-koach ha-sichli shebo yaskilu." So he says, what we have over animals is koach ha-seichel, that we're able to think. Right? The brain power that we have is something that makes us better and more unique than the animals. Okay, so Rebbe's
the Or Chaim essentially says the ability to think is what gives you rachamim and din, as opposed to instinct. How different is that? Not that
right.
Differentiate.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I was going. I actually was using the Malvim more as a clearer jumping point to what Rabbi Lamb suggests, because Rabbi Lamb says it seems like the prevalent opinion of the Mefarshim is what he says, and then I looked around in all the Mefarshim and did not find anybody that said anything like Rabbi Lamb, so I couldn't understand how that was prevalent, but I felt like whereas Tzad HaRachmim and Tzad HaDin is man's capacity to I guess discern different things, which is certainly similar to Koach HaSeichel. Rabbi Lam says that it's the capacity to create. That's what Nasadim Tzalmeinu Kudutenu is, that we can create things. And he says, you know, like, to me, that's different than Tzadarachim and Tzadadin. But in order to be able to be a creative being, you have to be able to think. You know, I imagine if you put, like, Lego in front of a monkey. So, like, they'd be able to put the pieces together because, like, that's what they do. But would they be able to create a, you know, a beautiful structure? Probably not, because it's more random. I think that's Koach HaSichli. So that was sort of where I'm going with that. But I definitely hear that the Or HaChaim and the Ma'albim are not so far off. So what does that mean to be creative? So says Rabbi Lam, that the idea of Nasadam Tzalmin and Kiyotu Tengu was the idea that we could be creative just like God. God created the entire world. We're able to create as well. And that's the Yirdu B'Dat Hayam. That's what makes us greater than all of the animals, is that we have this power. So he introduces that pasuk and then says, if we're creative, then the greatest act of creativity is the ability to have kids, and which, by the way, animals, of course, are capable of doing also. But we're able to have kids. So then he asks, if that's the case, why is it that when we read our 8 psukim from the beginning of Parshas Tazria, why is it that when you have children, Tumah comes as a result? It would seem to be if the most creative process out there is having children, then that should be, and that's the most godlike process, it should not have Tumah associated with it. So that really is the question to try to figure out today, is why is it that children make a woman Tameh? So that is it. Okay. So here we go. By the Ver Hashem Moshe Lemor, the Ver Alvin Yisrael Lemor, Ishaki Tazuya Yalda Zachar Itma Shabbat Yamim Kimeini Dat Votat Itma. That if a woman gives birth to a boy, she is Tamei or Tmeya for 7 days. The amount of time that she is a Nida, she is Tmeya. Just it's an interesting thought. But why is it that Bris Milah is on the 8th day? So one possible answer given to why it's the 8th day is that we want the woman to no longer be Tmeyah, which, by the way, is like something that we can't relate to anymore, because women nowadays, when they give birth, are Tmeyah at the very least for what would be the equivalent of a full cycle of being a Nida. So you're talking about like best case scenario, which is practically impossible that she were to stop bleeding like immediately after birth so she can go do a Hefsek Tahara. You're talking about, you know, I don't know, 11, 12, 13, something days like that. And here, back then, it was the blood was just Tmeyah 7 days. But if she continues to bleed on day 8, she becomes Tahora anyway. So that is, that's just an aside. Uvayom HaShmini Mol Besar Or Lato. And then on the 8th day, you have Bris Milah. U'Shloshim Yom U'Shloshim Yamim Teishev B'Dmei Tahara. So for 33 days, Teishev B'Dmei Tahara. So she can't go into the mikdash for those days, for that time. So teishev, Rashi says, what's teishev? Ein teishev el shon akava. The teishev is to stop, it's to pause, to hold back. Mova teishu b'kadesh, they stayed in Kadesh. Kadesh is where the spies went out and headed to Israel. Or vayeshev be'elonei mamrei. Is that Avraham settles in Elonei Mamre. So Teshev is to like be to stop and to stay in one place. And if she gives birth to a girl, she is Tmeya for 2 weeks. And she is Tmeya for 66 days. She stays Tmeya. Okay, so the second question is, why is it worse if you have a girl? Why is it that a girl puts you at 2 weeks and 66 days as opposed to 7 days and 33 days? So I actually had like this story doesn't have a happy ending, but I actually had a nice walk down memory lane for the Chabura yesterday, because Micah Gimpel, blast in the past since he moved to Israel many, many, many years ago. But Micah came to the Chabura, like, I don't know, for a couple of years back in the very early days, I don't know, somewhere like in 2007, 2008, and 2009 or something like that. So Micah had written an article about why it's 33 days versus 66 days, 2 weeks versus 1 week, and he shared it with me, and it was a great answer to try to explain the difference between this. So I have no idea where that article is. I figure there's a good chance that if I were to open up every one of my Sfarim on Vayikra, it would eventually just fall out. But much like... What was that?
Ray was asking for it.
So it was very late yesterday. So it was like... Right, like I was like, I could like reach out to him. I don't have his... I doubt he uses his Hotmail email address anymore. But it's possible. I could reach out to him today and see. But I just went into my AOL account and I put his email address in and was like started to go through it. So it's like really nice like memories of Chabura's past and whatever. But no luck. No luck finding that. So if he mentioned it to anybody here who remembers, feel free to chime in. But okay. So fine. So we have this 33 days, the 66 days, and then we're told in Pasuk Vav Umlotume Tara Levan Olavat, Tavi Keves Ben Shantoli Olav and Yonah Tor Lechatat. At the conclusion of this time for a boy or a girl, she brings Keves Ben Shnatoli Olav, she brings a Korban Ola, Uven Yonah Tor Lechatat, and she brings also a Chatat El Petach Ol Moed El HaKohen to the entrance of the Ol Moed to the Kohen. So she actually, I don't believe she can go in. I think she does it from like the entrance way, so she can see it until she gets her tahara. He krivolu fin Hashem v'chni perala v'tahera, v'zai v'tahara v'mkor dameha, zeo torati oledet l'zachar l'nekeva. And she brings it before God, and she gets kapara and tahara. And this is the story of a yoledet for a boy or a girl. V'mlo tumtza yada deiseh, v'lakash shtei torim v'shnei v'nei yonah, achad l'olav v'chad l'chatap v'chni perala v'koin v'tahera. And she can't find she can't afford a seh, so then she brings two birds, echad olav echad chatat, and then again she gets kapara and tahara. Great. Okay, so just an aside, we did this a few years ago, it's a beautiful idea by Rabbi Riskin, but it's worth repeating. We have the korbanos, so she brings what? A korban chatas, and she brings a korban, first she brings an ola, then she brings a chatas. So what korban would you think she should bring that she doesn't bring? I'm sorry, I heard you say something, David, but I didn't hear what you said.
I said shlamim.
A shlamim. Okay, why a shlamim?
What's the primary purpose of a shlamim? Is it not for...
Toda.
Oh, Toda.
That's shlamim, but...
I think I meant that.
Okay, perfect. So she should bring a korban toda, right? By bringing a korban toda, she is acknowledging that like this good thing happened. Like why wouldn't she do that? So Rabbi Riskin has a beautiful idea where he says basically that you can only it's hard for people to appreciate things in the moment we're very much based on like what have you done for me lately. So he says that if she brought in order for her to bring the toda, she has to appreciate this kid. But right now, she doesn't appreciate this kid. Why? Because she just went through pregnancy. Pregnancy is painful. Beyond pregnancy, she went through delivery. It's hard for us to appreciate this quite as much because delivery is not nearly as stressful nowadays as it once was, right? When you went in for delivery and statistically there was a good chance that you weren't coming out or the baby wasn't coming out, there was much, and there was no epidural. With all of that, right, we could see so much more why a person would be like, God, like, I don't want to ever do this again. So we're going to see the Gemara and Nida in just a little bit where basically the woman says, like, I don't ever want to have a kid again. So it's only later on that the person is in the state where they could appreciate the kid, you wouldn't be able to bring a korban toda right now. Whatever. In a nutshell, an idea that we've done in the past. But again, we have two questions that we have to try to figure out. I think both of them, pretty good questions. First off, why is it if we've been told from Parshas Bereishis that creativity is man's hallmark, then why is it that creativity like this creates tumah? And then the second question is, why is it worse in terms of tomo when one has a girl? So let's start with the first question. Creativity. is creativity good? And this is, you know, one of the questions. I was walking with Malky this week, and one of the things I like to do, probably because I'm stupid, if I ignored it, I probably would be in a better place. But I like to get like riled up about all the signs that random people probably post late at night in Ramat Beit Shemesh, telling you all the reasons why the world is in a bad place. Usually it's because women wear shaitels and women wear skirts that aren't long enough or too tight. That's usually the answer. So usually when I'm walking with Malki and I see those signs, and by the way, they always have the haskama of a dead gadol. The person is never alive. So I assume that Reb Chaim Kanievsky is about to become the poster child of every one of these things. Although you have to have said it at least once out of context, I think, to be a poster child. So it's possible that Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky won't be there. But it's like, it's always that. It's always turned to Malki. And I'm like, I'm off the hook on this one, right? So this week there were like 100 flyers, like not hung up, but like just thrown on the floor. So like that's the other effective way of getting your message across. If you dump all these papers on the floor, someone's bound to look at it. So I look at it. And I turn to Malki, I go, you know, this one is also on me. You know, how cell phones are like the destruction of the world. And the question really is, like, are cell phones, at least, you know, we could talk about cell phones for a half a second, are they really destructive? On the one hand, they're incredibly creative, right? We went from, like, having to walk around, forget it, walking around. We went from having to have a desktop computer to be able to have a phone that's essentially the same thing as a computer, right? You could do just about everything on your phone as you could do on your computer. So are they destructive? You know, according to that flyer, I'm sure that all six of us with our cell phones are the reason why everything bad in the world is because, you know, what we're doing. So the answer is nothing is, watch out, nothing is like that is inherently good or bad. It's what you make of it. So if you turn it into something bad, it's something bad. If you turn it into something good, it's something good. So what Rabbi Lam says is, that all creativity comes with a bit of destruction, right? Like our cell phones certainly have created destruction in the world. And I would even say for myself, it's created where we're not in as good of a place in terms of where our mind is because we're more distracted than we were when we had Nokias. So there's no question that like there is with every single item that's creative, a little bit of destruction. Rabbi Lam's example, because he gave his shush in the 50s, 60s, or 70s, was that when a sculptor is taking a piece of wood or a piece of material, he creates his beautiful creation. What does he find all over the floor after he's done? The waste of it. So whatever he's chipping off of the main material is gone. So he argues that is the nature of creativity. And he says in Kabbalah we have a concept called Shvira HaKedlin, that somehow we have like the main item and you break off parts of it, which is, I don't even understand what exactly that means, but somehow that's how creativity has tumah. You have to get rid of the tumah. Okay, so that's fine. He then says parenthood is a great thing, but he goes, maybe sometimes we have to tell that especially the first time parent. The message the Torah is telling to the first-time parent is, you know, you have all these dreams, you have all these aspirations, you've been creative, and you have this creative dream for what your child is going to be. That's all amazing, but please understand that you should expect tumma to come with your child. Expect mistakes, and that's okay, because it's part of the process, and you should know that there's tumma that comes with it. Okay, so that answers half of our question, but then it doesn't answer the second half. If that's the case, that's why we become tamei in general. So why is it that we become tamei for girls more than boys? According to this last possibility, the parenthood is great, but we sometimes find ourselves making mistakes, and this is a way of prepping parents. Are we prepping parents that, you know, your girls are going to be more, you're gonna make more mistakes with your girls than with your boys? I don't know, that doesn't sound like a very good answer. Now, if you told me that it was double time for your Bechor versus your second kid, I could totally understand that, right? Like your first child, It's like the famous idea of why the first child gets double Yerusha, is because we make so many mistakes with them that they deserve to be compensated at some point for that. Okay, fine. But it doesn't seem to answer why girls are more than boys. So let's take a look at the last source, the Gemara Nida. Shall we tell me that was
an equally bad answer.
What, say again?
I have an equally bad answer for girls why they're double, because they're going to have more children, so it's your fate and it's their fate, so it's double. It's a bad answer.
So it's interesting that you say that, David, because we're going to like circle back in just like 2 minutes to Rabbi Lam, and his answer is based on what you're saying, but he has a twist on it that makes it, I think, work a little bit better, but it's certainly rooted in what you're saying. Okay, so the Gemara Nida. Shal Talmidah that Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and they ma'amar Torah Yoledet Mevia Karban. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was asked by his students, why is it that the Torah requires a Yoledet to bring a Karban? So Amar Lam Mishasha Korat Leilad, when she's, when her knees are bent to give birth, Kofetzet, she's jumping, Vinishpat Shal Tizkak Lebala, she swears that she'll never have relations again with her husband, Leficha Hamar Torah Tavi Karban. The Torah therefore says, bring a karban as a way of saying, I'm sorry that I messed up. It's amazing that the Torah is holding a woman liable for that. I always felt that whatever a woman says in the throes of labor, it's all forgiven, right? Like they're not in control necessarily of what they're saying at that point in time. So the Gemara then asks another question. Why is it that the men are, boys are 4 or 7 and girls are 14? Zachar shakol smeichimbo. This is David, this should make your answer sound so much better. Right? Zachar shakol smeichimbo. Boys, because everybody's happy. Right? You have a boy, everybody's happy. Mitcharetet l'shiva. She's only on the hook for 7 days. But girls, everybody's sad when you get one. You're on the hook for 14 days. I still remember when Ariel was born, someone asked me what I had. I said I had a girl and Sfardi guy in Holliswood. And Yertzeshem ben Bekarov. That was his answer. I was like, no, but she's healthy. And he's like, no, Yertzeshem ben Bekarov. I'm like, oh, okay. But what does that mean, this Gemara? That if you have a girl, so people are all sad. Every culture, even in the cultures where boys are more important, right? And there still are civilizations like that, where it's more primitive and boys will be able to work the fields and feed people. And, women are just another mouth to feed and they birth children, but they don't help necessarily so much. You still need women in order to have boys. Like, the world does understand that that's, a problem. So what does this Gemara mean? So the Ptach Einayim says, So he says the Torah is God's Kli Chemda. It's God's most cherished vessel. And boys were commanded to learn Torah. Therefore, the honor, the glory of God is through boys. And that's why the Ptach Einayim basically says that the Torah is learned by men, and therefore that is the reason why it brings more simcha to God, more simcha to people, and that's where you get the 7 days versus the 14 days. The Marsha offers a different answer, because the Ptach Einayim's answer is beautiful. It's a nice vart, but I don't know. I mean, I would not repeat it at my Shabbos table tonight. The Marsha offers a different answer. He says that the mother is sad because she knows her daughter will go through the pain one day that she's going through, which actually is a good answer, right? If you say that, then it makes sense, right? When you have a boy, you say, my boy, right? One day he's going to go out into the world, and that's it. His contribution to childbirth is much smaller than the 9 months and the delivery that the girl is going to go through. So then Marsha explains that's the reason why the woman has, you know, the woman is upset, the mother is sad when she has a girl, and therefore 14 days. Rabbi Lam takes this, and it's, this answer is not so different than, is on the same, you know, on the same course of thinking that David suggested. Rabbi Lam said that actually, the greater the light, the greater the shadow. It's a nice quote. The girl will be able to create and have children one day, and in that sense, she is more creative than the man. And therefore, the intensity of the experience, right, the greater the light, the greater the shadow, the intensity of her experience is greater, and therefore she's going to create more tuma because she could replicate what her mom is going through. He then ends off by saying that there are ways to fix it. What are the two ways to fix your tuma in general? This is both for the boy and the girl. You need time, which I think is Rashi's point of Teshev, Ein Teshev, Elo Lashon Akava. And the other point is you need tefillah. You need to wash away the negativity. I want to end with Rashi that we skipped above. The Rashi, Isha Ki Tazria, the first one. Because I think what Rashi actually does is he takes everything we did today and puts it into a beautiful perspective that I think also circles back to the Psukim in Bereishis. Amar Rav Simlai, Kishem Shitzirato Shel Adam Achar Kol Behema Chai Va'Of, B'Masiv Reishit, the same way at the end, after everything is created, after all the animals are created, only then do we get we get introduced to man. Same thing here. We have kashrus and bugs in the end of Shmini, and then we come to Tazria and Avisha Ki Tazria. Kach Torah Tonit Parsha Achar Torah Behema B'Chai Va'Of. That's also how the Torah works in terms of Tumah v'Tahara. And I think that that's actually, if you want to go back to our original question, there is the creativity. How does that tie into the animals? So rather than saying that it's only that we have Tzad Rachmim and Tzad Din and Seichel and everything, I think what you could argue is that animals have children, we have children. So then we're all creative in the same way. Except that when animals have children, like the very next day they go back, or right after in some cases, they go back to normal. Says the Torah, no. When a person has a child, there has to be a time to reflect, and that's the Teshev B'Dmei Tahara. And that's also the separation between husband and wife that exists after having a child. And that's the separation that woman has from coming to a place of Mikdash. That's all part of the Kapara and the Tahara that happens. The first thing that the woman has to do is akava. She has to stop her life and say, whoa, look what I just accomplished. That's an amazing thing. But in my accomplishment, I also recognize that I have to take a step back. I have to stop and pause for a moment to think about it. After she does that, she's able to do tefillah and wash away any of the negativity, any of the tumah, any of the destruction that has come. And then she ends what we have in Pasuk Zayin, Krivo Lifnei Hashem. She comes before God. That is man's ultimate gift, and that is a way where man is so different and so much more creative than the animals. Have a great Shabbos.